T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So I have lived in this area just short of a year and a half. And for the first time over this weekend, normally it takes me a little bit longer to have this feeling. But for the first time over this weekend, I felt like this area is home. I felt like a true upstater. And I felt like that because I was so darn proud of what I was seeing and the passion and the behavior and the peace that we were seeing arm in arm, all races throughout downtown Greenville, throughout Spartanburg. I am just so proud that you have welcomed me here to the upstate. And I'll tell you what, when you have a chance to speak to someone in charge of the peace, the person whose preeminent responsibility is keeping the peace, you want to do that. So folks, right now we are pleased to be joined by the Greenville County Sheriff. If you would like to ask the Greenville County Sheriff a question, you may do so right now. Text in your question 71307 to our text line. Just make sure to begin your text with the words with the word ESPN. Greenville County Sheriff Hobart Lewis joins us right now. Sheriff Lewis, thanks so much for making the time. Good to talk to you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely, Sheriff. Absolutely. So, Sheriff, I want to open with a tip of the cap to you and a tip of the cap to your officers for really and truly being an example for the rest of the country here. What I have seen in our area has made me so darn proud. When you turn on the other networks and it looks like World War III, I'm not seeing that here. I am seeing the example that I wish we were seeing in the rest of the country, and I know that you and your officers are a big part of the reason why. Congratulations to you, sir, on that.
Well, thank you, and please don't leave out Greenville City Interim Police Chief Howie Thompson. That was his men and women that were on the front line. We were there in a support role for sure, but it's a great feeling to work with Chief Thompson and for us to work together and be able to put so many resources downtown for 2 days. And we're just very fortunate that things went really well.
Sheriff Hobart Lewis joining us here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate. What do you attribute the unbelievable response from the upstate to?
Well, again, this is a special place. And if you look, we had a much different group that congregated to have protests here. The only problems we had really were after the group had left, the majority of the group. There were some people that kind of infiltrated the group throughout the day that remained late into the evening on Saturday and then again on Sunday. We were just able to identify them pretty quickly and remove them or deal with them as things occurred. Again, we had a great law enforcement presence. We didn't have anybody to overreact. All of our police officers and deputies that made contact with citizens, it was very cordial, or as cordial as it could be in some places. But I think just maintaining a kind of a calm presence. People were aggravated. I mean, they're upset. They want their voice heard, and they all do it in different ways. Some had signs, some got loud. But again, on both sides, everybody was extremely patient and just kind of let things play out instead of forcing someone's hand. So we were very appreciative to the participants. as well as the citizens. We had a lot of people downtown that were eating and, you know, just walking around downtown that kind of got caught up in it a little bit. But everybody was extremely patient. Our business owners worked with us. The traffic was good. We were very fortunate, to say the least. And I think everybody was, all of our officers were head and shoulders above what you see in a lot of different situations throughout the country. We got a really great group.
Certainly. Sheriff Lewis, Greenville County Sheriff, joining us here on the show. Sheriff, you touched on something there that I want to get to. I'm hearing nationwide, you know, the people that are not from the area are infiltrating groups that are protesting peacefully, and in some cases are responsible for the most trouble. And I don't want to speak for you, but it seemed to me that you were intimating that a little bit. That is so troubling to me. What is that about in your experience? These people don't seem to be about the cause. They seem to be about causing trouble and being opportunists to rob, loot, arson, all of those different things. I don't quite understand that. I've been very disturbed to see that nationwide.
Well, you hit on the key phrase with opportunist. And what we found is that people want to, again, insert themselves into a large crowd like this and create havoc to get all of the law enforcement attention on what's going on. And then they think they can do damage or take property, get physical, you know, whatever the case. And then they're taken off. They're out of the air and they think we're not going to find them. And there's some people that just want to continue to create dissension amongst all of us and bring problems here to take attention away from something else.
Sheriff Lewis joining us here on the show today. What needs to happen, Sheriff, nationwide for the fracture that exists between citizens and officers to heal and improve?
Well, I think you have to look at why people are protesting, genuinely. We don't have problems they have in other cities. Bigger cities, very large cities. We don't have those issues here. We're very fortunate for sure not to have those things. However, the people that are protesting against the way they feel like law enforcement treats them or law enforcement's judging them before we talk to them. So I think you'll see a conversation start nationwide, obviously on a small scale from different municipalities, different county agencies and state agencies. If we'll communicate with our people that live in our area on a rational basis, too, and it has to be a dual conversation where people are talking about their issues, and us in law enforcement have to explain why we do what we do. It doesn't mean people are going to like it. It doesn't mean they're going to agree with it. But we at least need to be able to be transparent and explain the rationale behind what we do. Now, the flip side of that is we got to do a better job, I think, with our young people. I think we need to really set the standard and communicate with them and help set a precedent for how they feel about law enforcement, teachers, any type of authority, to be honest, because times have changed. And we need to do more than just walk away like we have in the past. If somebody doesn't agree with us, you know, we need to talk. We need to discuss it. So I don't think that's been done in a long time. It's kind of been our way or the highway. And having said that, it's created the issues that we have today. And that's exactly why we are where we are.
I think that's very well stated, Sheriff. So, Sheriff, earlier in my life, I had an expired tag. I had an incident where a police officer in Orlando, Florida, used excessive force against me. I was honestly worried for my life. That officer was a different race than I am. And I immediately, the first thing I thought of was, is this happening to me because this officer is a different race? I feel like, and I've had to mentally have a conversation with myself, Sheriff, over the years, because since that happened to me, whenever I'm around an officer, I feel more uncomfortable than I do protected. And it's a direct result of that experience that I have. The thing, and so I'm having this conversation with myself, with my instinct, my gut reaction to be a little bit fearful based on my experience, then looking at the knowledge that 99% of these officers around America now, Sheriff, are paying the price for the actions of one. And I'm trying to use my platform now to the best of my ability to illustrate that to folks. I truly feel bad for the 99% of officers that are outstanding human beings doing their jobs the right way, great members of the community. How do we get past that? How do we make people realize, Sheriff, that 99% of these guys are really, really good men and women?
Well, I think we just have to keep pushing our message that we do certainly solicit good quality people. We have to do a better job of recruiting good people who reflect our community. At one time, there wasn't a lot of interest in applying in law enforcement because the pay was low. We're just now getting in a position, really, especially here at our agency, where the pay has been raised. But you take a young man or woman that's coming out of college with $65,000 or $70,000 worth of college debt. As soon as they graduate, they got to start paying on those student loans, and you're going to ask them to take a job making $34,000 a year. Doesn't leave much promise for them. I mean, sure, there's not a bright future for them to get out and get married and try to buy a home and raise a family and do those things, plus pay for those student loans and other things. So we're working toward that. Our pay has been increased, which has made a huge difference. When you talk about, again, what you mentioned in the beginning, a bad experience with law enforcement, that happens really in every profession. The biggest difference is in law enforcement is constitutionally, you're standing on the other side of somebody that is fixing to restrict your freedom and could use lethal force. Mm-hmm. They could take you to jail. There's a huge amount of authority placed in law enforcement's hands. Again, are we training them to first talk to people and be rational? But you see look at all the instances occurred over the past 3 days, law enforcement officers that have been killed in the line of duty.
Yes.
Just in 4 days, everybody's on edge for sure, not just in law enforcement, but the community. So we got training issues. I mean, again, you don't know what somebody's going to do until you get them trained, get them out, and they get put into a situation like the situation in Minnesota. Why the other three guys doesn't grab the guy that's yes. got his knee on the neck of Mr. Floyd? Why don't you grab him? And I mean, I honestly thought they paused the tape when I watched it the first time because we sat there forever watching it and nothing was happening other than him kneeling on his neck. I thought, well, somebody paused it or something. And then all of a sudden they pan over to the other officer and you realize it's still live or still recording at that time. We weren't watching it live, but it's 7 minutes. Yeah. Man, you need to turn around and get him and say, hey, he's cuffed. Let's put him in the car. Just get up. We got him. But nobody does that. No, I'm not sure any of those guys knew what to do at that point. Now we have an opportunity to watch it over and over and over and over. And certainly set back and critique it. But I don't know what they were thinking not to grab him by the shoulder and say, hey, get up. We got him. Catch your breath. You know, if he had to wrestle with the guy or whatever, hey, you know, catch your breath. Let's put him in the car. Everybody nationwide is trained. Do not leave anybody on their stomach or their side while they're handcuffed due to the pressure you put on their lungs, positional asphyxia. And you add the fact that you got, I don't know what the guy weighed, but you got your knee on the side of his neck, his carotid artery in his esophagus. Somebody's got to get him off him.
Completely.
That's hard to watch.
It was incredibly difficult to see. So, Sheriff, I take it from what you just said that officers are not trained that maneuver. Because you're wondering that. I kept wondering, what is this a subduing maneuver that's approved in precincts? It was really, really puzzling to me. So you're saying definitely not?
It's certainly not here. Now, I'm not sure what I read on the news or saw was true, but apparently up there, their policy is that they can use restraint and choke holds. We're not taught that here. We don't facilitate those. We don't use those at all. So, I again, that may have been their policy, but I guarantee you their policy was not to put your knee on the back of somebody's neck for 8 minutes. That's you have to render aid. You know, no matter what it takes to get somebody in custody, our policy is to use the minimal amount of force necessary to effect an arrest. But after that arrest, after they're handcuffed, after you've got them detained, we're also responsible for providing first aid to that person. If we've injured them in any way, do we need to have them medically checked out? Again, that video was EMS picked him up and put him on a stretcher, and the paramedics didn't even start doing chest compressions or anything until they got him into an ambulance. It was a very difficult video to watch. I can't even begin to explain what they were thinking.
I'd like at this time, Sheriff, to get to a couple of listener questions. Christopher Smith sends in a question. Do you support a civilian review board comprised of citizens of the county appointed by the officers appointed by the county council, or the officers appointed by the county council?
Are they talking about the part of the civilian review board appointed themselves by council?
Yeah, I think he's asking if you support a civilian review board that reviews the actions of officers and dignitaries such as yourself.
No, I don't. What I do support, and certainly to begin with, as a citizens advisory committee, I think we could get people that represented the community to at least be able to explain what happened and get the true story about what happened, the true facts of the events, and take input from the community. What I have a problem with is a citizens that you see, you know, in some parts of the country, an advisory committee that wants subpoena power to actually place charges on officers. That's why we have the district attorney in some parts of the country. Here we have the solicitor's office. We have the state law enforcement division to investigate our officers or me for any criminal charges or misconduct. You also have the attorney general's office. So when you talk about the legal side of that and pressing charges and getting witnesses and doing those things, I think that needs to be handled in the judicial system. But I am all for a citizens advisory committee to talk about issues and explain again why we do what we do, and not just that, but to report to them, hey, this is how many use of force issues we had in Greenville this month. Mm-hmm. This is how many interactions we have with this part of the community that involved a felony charge. Again, if we open that line of conversation, I really do believe that people will see what we do here in this area.
This question coming in from listener Taylor Denise, Sheriff. She says, should there be a national retroactive look at those with multiple abuse reports already against them? In this case, Sheriff, the offending officer had 18 incidents on his report, and everyone's wondering, how was he still on the force? How was he still on the team? What do you think about that?
I agree with your caller or your texter. That's I have no explanation for what they did there, and I don't obviously know that officer or know what those 18 complaints of misconduct were, what level they were. I don't know. I can tell you what we do here. We're a nationally accredited agency, so we follow a set of national standards. We have what's called an early warning system, and what goes into that is every time we have a use of force and you write a report on a use of force incident, it goes into that early warning system. So we look at the deputies here. Some have more than others, and that's when we start reviewing them. It literally sends an alarm to us to let us know, hey, this deputy's had 3 in 6 months or, 4 in a year or whatever the case may be for that particular deputy. We would have reviewed them anyway, but sometimes you don't get the total number until you go back and look at the early warning system. So it gives us a good indication for sure on who has more physical confrontations. And a lot of times those things can be worked out, again, with just communicating with people and talking to them. One of the worst things we see in law enforcement is to put handcuffs on people, put them in the back of a car and transport them to jail and their family that's standing there that may have witnessed an assault or domestic violence issue, we don't even stop. After we got them detained, the scene is secure. We don't even turn around and tell the family, hey, John's going to jail. He's going to be charged with criminal domestic violence. He'll have a bond hearing at 2:30. He'll be afforded a phone call. That goes a long way. I mean,
yes.
Just letting people know. But when you just put him in the car and you drive off and you just took the breadwinner off in the back of a car and they don't know what's going on, panic sets in. And that defense mechanism we all have, and they want to know, hey, what's going on? What do we got to do to get him out? What's he being charged with? Don't leave people standing there to try to answer questions that they don't have the knowledge. They don't know what you're doing. I feel like we do a really good job of that here, and we're going to do a better job for sure. But I don't think George Floyd's death will be in vain, to be quite honest. I believe it's going to change the way we communicate with each other nationwide, and I think it's going to force us to do a really hard review of our practice and standards, I know here for our agency. I think change is coming. You know, it's not going to occur overnight, but I've always believed it's not the size of the step, it's the direction it's in. So I think we can all work together to accomplish the same thing.
You know, it's so interesting. Communication is the answer to so many issues nationwide.
Absolutely.
including what you just mentioned, Sheriff. I believe you've heard a major reason why the response in Greenville has been an example for the rest of America. Not only the character of our outstanding citizens here, but also the leadership coming down from our Greenville County Sheriff, Hobart Lewis. Sheriff, I'm incredibly proud to be a Greenvillian, given what I saw over the weekend. I was really moved in a positive way after I saw the disturbing images on Friday and Saturday night, to see the images of unity, from your officers, from your team, from our citizens. Really, really, really just warm my heart. I want to congratulate you for that, and I want to wish you the best of luck moving forward. It's great to meet you. Thank you for joining us on the show today.
Well, thank you very much for having me, but let me clarify one thing. It's no credit to me at all, honestly. It's the men and women who serve this community that hold themselves to a higher standard and perform in the most professional way. That's why things worked out the way they did. On the other side of that, we have, I promise you, I'm not just saying this, we have some of the best citizens a yes. county can have. This is a very special part of the country, and I believe that God smiles down on us and certainly kept everybody safe.
Thank you so much, Sheriff. Please stay safe.
Thank you, sir. Yes.
All right. Hobart Lewis, Greenville County Sheriff, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.